to the book of Luke tonight. We're going to try to preach with the Lord's help. Book of Luke, chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And when you're there, as everybody picks on me, say amen. Luke 5. And I'm going to start reading in verse 17. We're going to read through verses 26. And this is just what's on my heart tonight. Amen. Luke 5, verse 17 reads like this. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of the town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Jesus was there to heal the Pharisees, amen? But also anybody that was present there. It says the spirit, the presence and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Verse 18, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them, took up whereon he laid, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Notice verse 26, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. We have seen strange things today. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight on a strange revival. A strange revival. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity. Lord, thank you for the word and this just the privilege to be here. We ask you to help us tonight, Holy Ghost. Help us preach. God, help us use wisdom, Holy Ghost. You know who is here, dear Jesus. Lord, you know who's in this congregation. You know what they have need of, Lord Jesus. And Lord, help us witness strange things tonight, dear Jesus. Lord, anoint this young man. Lord, I need your presence. I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Lord, that makes preaching easy, Lord, that makes preaching effective. Lord, I've done my part, Lord. I feel, Lord, that I found what you would like to speak to our hearts tonight. Just help us in the name of Jesus. Anoint their ears to hear. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. A strange revival. I know that's a strange title, but I'm going to preach to you on a strange revival tonight. When you look that word strange up in a dictionary, strange means unusual, out of the ordinary, and unfamiliar. But then you can look the word normal up. It means usual and ordinary. So, dealing tonight with the fact of a strange revival, I want to preach this from this perspective tonight on what it means to have an unusual, out of the ordinary, unfamiliar move of God. Something that you're not accustomed to, something that you haven't witnessed maybe, something that's not an every service occurrence. I'm talking about having a strange revival, because hear me today, nobody really likes the idea of being strange. I mean, it makes you stand out when you know, if you're in high school, the last thing you want to be called is strange. You know, I was in high school, I'm sure somebody said, that's a strange guy over there. I'm sure it was, but that's nothing, nobody really looks for that title, because strange really means different. It means opposite of what is usual. And it means unfamiliar. We understand that in America we really have become conformists, which means that, you know, we conform to the natural, we conform to the popularity. It shouldn't be in the life of a believer, but you would be surprised even how much as Christians we conform. How easy it is. Not always in sinful ways, but it could be something that is popular, some new idea, something combined, just naturally we conform. Not all form and conformity and change is evil. Thank God for ACs. I conform to the AC see you today. I don't know about you. I just like it. I've been to Africa without it, and I still, when I came back, it didn't take me long to get back used to it. I like that. The car, all these different things. Conformity is not always a bad thing. But when it comes to the body of Christ, and when it comes to believers, there has been something that's been wrong for years. There has been a conformity where I believe we have lost out on the power of God. Not saying that God doesn't move. Not saying that God doesn't save. Not saying that you're not saved. Not saying that you're not touched. Or not saying we don't have services where the Holy Ghost doesn't motivate us and prick our hearts. God's mercy, and He's always moving. He's moving in any avenue we will allow Him. But we would have to admit today, it has been a while since we've had, maybe as the body of Christ, when's the last time you've heard of a completely unfamiliar, out of the ordinary, unusual move of God, where you could say, we haven't seen that in a very, very long time. We have not witnessed that in centuries. When's the last time there's been an Azusa Street revival? I know there's this charismatic stuff that is really, it doesn't hold a candle to what God really does. I mean, it's amazing. You read about some of these crusades they're having nowadays, and they say, we have 3,000 saved. I'd like to go back and see how many are saved a few years later. I guarantee, I've read statistically before, the difference between Billy Graham's crusades and the difference between Charles Finney's crusades. Billy Graham, yes, he may have had a lot of crusades and stuff, but you were to go back and a majority of them had fell off, a majority of them had never got born again, but you could go to a crusade by Charles Finney, and they said there was like 80% of the people that got born again, they were still hanging on. That is what revival really does. There's transformation, there is change, there's something about it that is out of the ordinary, it rips out of the normality. You would have to understand today that there's a lot of things this world is calling normal today that years ago it would have been strange. They say homosexuality is normal. Not in the life of the believer. That's strange to me. Amen. So understand, I know there's a lot of things, perversion, dress styles, strange things are happening in this century that call it normal. But when it comes to the body of Christ, I want to ask you today, in your mind, what is a normal Christian and what is a normal church? What is a normal Christian and what is a normal church? Because even that has shifted since the book of Acts. Even that one time in the book of Acts, when you would have looked in the book of Acts and said this was normal, you know, 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved, cripples healed, angels opening jailhouses, house doors. You go to Antioch to have a revival. You persecute them to have a revival. They're seeing the most cruel man persecuting the church. He's getting born again, called to preach. That was normal in the book of Acts, but that would be strange for the modern day church today. Understand, there has to be a return to the foundation, the blueprint. And I'm calling us today, what does it mean to be a normal Christian? That's changed. You read the Bible, a normal Christian's victorious. They're joyous. They're worshipful. They're thankful. They're giving. They're self-sacrificing. And the list goes on and on. They seek for God. They continue. They're looking for deeper moves of the Spirit of God. When you read throughout the Bible, that should be the position of the believer. But that is far from the position that we witness in our modern day churches. That is just truth we have. That is the truth today. Because what is normal in the Bible has become strange to us. What has become normal in the book of Acts, we were look at it cross-eyed today and say, I wonder why they're all speaking in tongues. I wonder how we can keep them quiet. I wonder how we can keep Paul from going out there and starting a riot. I wonder how we can keep these folks from doing and seeing revival, because that would be strange to us. When's the last time you heard of somebody going downtown Hampton and it flipped the whole city upside down? If that came across the newspaper, we'd be like, strange. That would be on the news. Strange preacher. Strange move of God. Can't explain it. Drug addicts getting saved. I read about a church in Texas years ago, and it really wasn't a very popular thing, but all the drug addicts would disappear. They found them down at a local church. You know what that was? That was strange to the modern day church. The policemen didn't think to look in the church. They looked everywhere else. They looked at every rehab. They noticed the folks that were arrested every weekend were gone. But come to find out, they seen them walking in an old country church. They went in there and gotten born again and full of the Holy Ghost. That was strange to the world. Once again, church, we need to have a strange revival. We need to have a strange move of God that is as unfamiliar, it is out of the ordinary. God, help us witness this. When we look at the text today, this describes the story here. This house where Jesus Jesus was, there was a series of things that happened that they said that we have seen strange, unusual, out of the normal things today. That when that crowd left, they had to say to themselves, man, that was strange. That was different. I've never seen nothing like that in my whole entire life. So I'm going to do three different points today. Hear me. I'm going to list the things that were strange, but I'm also going to list the things that were normal. And then at the very end of this, I'm going to ask you this question. Do you want to be a strange church, or do you want to be a normal church just like everybody else? And I trust you want to be strange. I trust you want to be peculiar. Hear me today, friend, because everything here in the story we look at, there's some strange things that these people saw. And I'm just going to touch on this and try to move forward. First, I'm going to touch on the things that seem strange. The very first thing we saw in here that was strange in the story, there were four men that loved their neighbor more than they loved themselves. That'd be strange. Amen. I mean, these four men had enough compassion. I'll tell you what else is strange. They got along. They didn't argue who, what corner of the bed they were going to get. Man has a need. We're going to get them to Jesus. They had, this is strange. The normal would be this. You get yours and I'll get mine. You tough it out and I'll tough it out. You make it through the battle and I'll make it through the battle. That would have been what the normal thing was. Every man for himself. But hear me, in a self-centered, egotistical world, it's hard to find people who will stop and help others that have been robbed by the enemy and left for dead. We need to learn to be strange people again. These four men that picked up this bed had enough love for this man. They loved this man that they took time out of their schedule. They took time out of what they were doing. They didn't worry about it, so-and-so. If I was here on time, they were saying, these people have a need. And by the Lord's help, they were going to see this man strengthened. We read throughout the Bible, there's many strange things that happen in Scripture according to our normalcy. The story of the Good Samaritan, he was strange. I mean, you had the Levite and the priest. Maybe they didn't want to get their hair messed up. I don't know. Maybe one of them had just their suit, man, said, all right, get dirty down there. But oh, that good Samaritan was willing to get down in the mud and the blood. He was willing to get down to a place he could relate with this man. He took his own money. He took his own money. He took him to that inn. He put him on the back of his donkey when he walked. He walked all the way to that inn. He gave him that money there to take care of him. That would have been strange to strange nowadays. Hear me. Just imagine with me if somebody showed up in this parking lot with a van full of crippled people and said, I brought them to your church because I've seen them and I want them to get healed. Be strange, wouldn't it? Or if somebody showed up with a van full of homeless people, said, I was riding downtown, seeing these guys sitting on the corner, they didn't have nothing better to do. So I said, come to the house of God. That would seem strange to us, and don't act like it wouldn't. You know it would do something in your mind. You know you would say to yourself, man, they really cut in their nice car. They got them people, what if they got the seats dirty? What if they did this? That would be strange to us. Brother James Reynolds, which some of you went to youth camp, met some of the Reynolds family this week. But Brother James has passed on. He started in the state of Maine, Portland, Maine. He started what they call the Deliverance Center, and they've taken the homeless, the abused, the drug addicts. When he first started that place, first he started off in his own house. Him and his wife had a room downstairs, and upstairs he had a room with 17 homeless men in it. Strange. I'm talking to my own self. You would think to yourself, what about your family? Don't that seem strange to us? And I'm not asking to pick up all the homeless and live with them. But if you feel God leads you to do that, do that. What I'm saying is there was a man that had a burden that said, look, these men have to be ministered to. These men have to be preached to. If somebody does not reach them, they're going to go to hell. He didn't worry about his comfort. He didn't worry about his self-esteem. He didn't worry about what the neighbor was going to say. But you know, today the Deliverance Center has produced man after man that has been born again. They have seen homeless people come to get saved. They've seen homosexuals get saved. They've seen drug addicts come to Christ. And even this week at youth camp, there was a young boy by the name of Jeremiah. He came to youth camp. You know how he got there? He rode his bike around and picked up plastic bottles and raised $200-something to come to youth camp from the Deliverance Center. We look at that and say, that's strange. I don't know. You hear me today, Fred? We need to learn to be a strange people in the body of Christ again. Yeah. We're so reserved. It's my cubicle over here. And God, I love you as long as you stay out my box now. God, I'll do as much as long as it does not infringe right here. God, I love you enough as long as it does not come into this pocket or this pocket or this account or this mindset. If I ruin my plans up the road, hear me today. We need to get back to that self-sacrificing, that spirit of Christ that is compassionate. He didn't have a place to lay his head at night. He lived and he lived where he could. He went where he could. We would have looked at Jesus today and say, He's strange. And don't think you talk, if a sandal-footed Nazarene walked through that door, said, I don't have a house to live in, but this community needs to get born again. And I want you to do it. I want you to get up and begin to feed them and do this. That would seem, you hear what I'm saying today, even to my own mind, that would seem strange to us. God help us once again. Brother I.L. Smith is an old preacher from Georgia. One day, Sister Maxine came home, the mattress was gone, they got off the bed, and there was no mattress on the bed frame. She said, honey, where's the mattress? He said, so-and-so in the church didn't have one, and they really needed one. We're sleeping on the floor tonight. Strange. But Brother I.L. Smith has been on more missionary trips. And when you go with him, he'll make you leave your shoes behind. He gets on the airplane with nothing but socks on. He said, I can go to America and buy more shoes and clothes than these men have access to in a lifetime. He said, I'll get to see more clothing. He said, the least I can do is sacrifice where I can. That seems strange to us. But I would say to you today, we need a strange revival to change our normal minds back to a radical move of God that would change our normality. Let's have a strange revival. Strange revival? You mean, Brother Dick, you really think that that's... Yes, I do. I listened to a sermon recently by Brother David Lamb. He has an inner city church in Kentucky. Started off with just a handful, running 200 and something, many of them homeless and was drug addicts. We supported him some HMN, Holiness Mission to America. But he said this, and it challenged my heart. He said to hear, he was talking to pastors over the evangelism session, talking to pastors. He said, pastors, do not be fooled to think you're just called to pastor your church. He said, you're called to pastor that community. He said, it should be so that when the cops come up on the drunk man on Fifth Avenue and they smack that man on the face to get his attention, that drunk man will wake up and say, take me to Pastor Lamb's house. I've never been to his church, but he's the pastor here. He's somebody that's out in the streets. He's somebody on the street corners. He's the one providing. He's the one coming after our children. He's the one reaching out to us. He's the one saying he loves us. He's the one telling us about Jesus. And even though these people are bound, we ought to be a strange enough church. They should say, take me to the Abundant Life Tabernacle, because they've been out here. They've been asking for my kids to go to Sunday school. They've been asking for my kids to come. They've invited me to church. They've fed my family. We need to be a strange church. There's enough normality on this one highway. I counted enough churches. It ought to break our hearts to know that this community is not evangelized. It ought to challenge our hearts. If one church with 120 could do it in the book of Acts, how come 50 or 20 churches can't do it on one road? Something is strange. Yeah, there's too much normality. We've got to learn to change this. The second thing that was amazing about this, the second strange thing that we come across, these men had unstoppable faith. The normal thing would be this. If it happens, it happens. But these strange men here, these men said, I came after it. I'm not leaving here until I get what I came for. They went there. They didn't think about saying, look, if I can get to Jesus, that'll be all right. If I could make my way in there, that would be all right. They came there with that sick man, and they had unstoppable faith. Just imagine, they come to the door. They look in there, and the crowd, the multitude. Most people would say, well, we'll wait the next service. You know, I heard Jesus is scheduled to speak down here. Well, wait. No, these men looked in that crowd. They knew they had to get in there. They knew they had to. So hear me today, friend. They were strange because they had unstoppable faith. They looked in that door and they knew they had to get that man to Jesus. Why does many in the church world have trouble receiving of the Holy Ghost and receiving of the gifts of the Spirit and receiving of the forwarding of the gospel of our communities? The reason is that is because we come normal. One little hindrance hits us. We're ready to throw in the towel. One little thing twists. Don't you think the devil's going to fight us if we're trying to evangelize? Don't you think the devil's going to try to shut the door in your face? But thank God there was men like Paul in the Scripture. He said, when I couldn't go there, Titus did. When I did, were relentless in the book of Acts. They were normal then, and it's become strange now. You couldn't have stopped these men from getting to Jesus. Good luck. Just imagine in your mind the excuses that stop us from getting to the Lord. I mean, excuses. Brother Kenny Morris told a story one time. You don't know him. He's a great preacher. He said one time, he was after service in church there. And he said a lady came up to him and said, I am so cold that you've got to get me some heat in here. So Brother Kenny walked over to the thermostat. He said, while he was walking towards the thermostat, he said, another woman came up to him and said, Brother Kenny, it's so hot in here, you've got to get some AC on. He said, he thought to himself, oh my Lord, somebody's going home. But you see the excuses. Look, I know it gets hot and cold. But even somebody may come up to you and says, look, I can't get in service because their perfume stinks. You can't get in service because your faith stinks. It's what it is. It's nothing to do with the perfume. It's nothing to do with the AC. I've seen in Africa where they don't have an AC unit. I've seen in Africa where they don't have doors on the church. I've seen in other nations of Mexico, different places. I've been in churches that are not halfway as nice as this. I've been in places where they don't have number window units, and they blow up. My old church, we blow a breaker every other service. There was times it was 80 degrees in there. But my Lord, did we see people born again into the kingdom? Did we not see people filled with the Holy Ghost? It's nothing to do with your neighbor's perfume. It's nothing to do with the AC units. It's nothing to do with this or that. Excuses. You in the church, we've got to learn to be strange again. Too loud, not loud enough. I feel bad for Brother Tom back there. I give him a hard time, and everybody else does. Amen. But thank God we have a place to worship. Thank God we have unity of faith. We can come here. Look, I know there's real situations. I know there's real problems. But understand, there's not. I believe you could get the temperature just perfect. If you got everything perfect in a church, some people would leave.
Right. That's right.
If you had the thermostat just perfect, if you had the music just perfect, if you had everything, the preacher was perfect. Now, I know I'm not up here saying I'm perfect, but if everything was perfect, there'd be some people who wouldn't have nothing to complain about. They would probably hop to another church because they would be out of a job. My Lord, help us understand. Let us get over our excuses. Let us get over the idea that we have to have everything just perfect. But let us get lost in the presence of God once again. Where it doesn't matter what our neighbor is doing. It doesn't matter about everything else. But we've come to church. We've got unstoppable faith. There's somebody that needs a healing. There's somebody that needs to be saved. There's somebody that needs to be filled. We went there for something and we didn't leave till we got it. Brother Edward, my old pastor, when he was seeking for the Holy Ghost, he thumbed a wire. He was doing revival. He thumbed a ride to church. He got to church 2 hours early. He told himself, when I get to church, I'm going to pray through the Holy Ghost if I'm praying while the preacher's preaching. He said he prayed until the service came, everybody kept coming in. He kept on praying. He said he kept on praying. He said eventually they had a few songs. He kept on praying. He said he felt some hands on his back. He kept on praying. He said all of a sudden about 11 o'clock that night, he came to in the foyer, one shoe off, speaking in other tongues. You know what it was? There was unstoppable faith. He said, I come to get it. I'm not leaving till I receive it. God help us receive that unstoppable faith again. When God tries to move, we got a time schedule. We got a pie graph and say, Holy Ghost, you move here, here, and here. But the Holy Ghost may look at you and say, no, I want there, there, and there. You do this here. You know when Jesus is Lord, that means He's your master? A bondservant? Brother Dick, that's old. No, it's not. You read that word servant in the Bible, it's translated slave. When Paul said, I am a servant of Jesus Christ, he said, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. He knew who he was. He knew who Christ was. We've got to get back to the place that we are bond servants to Christ. It does not matter what's in front of us, but we press on by faith and we have a strange revival with unstoppable faith. I remember, I think it was last year, it was on a Wednesday night. I was at a church. We had a visitor come to me and Holly's house. It was a relative of hers.
And they weren't in church, but they were depressed and discouraged. And they said, I'm driving 2 hours and I'm coming to church with you. Well, we show up to church that night. Something happened. The pastor had to go emergency. And then the assistant pastor, he was sick. And I looked out in the crowd. I counted. There was 7 of us. And the guy that was preaching that night, he said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to have church. And have church. Everybody didn't show up. Some could have been there, but they were playing hooky. I mean, I know they could have been there, but because the internet tells on them, they go out and do everything else they want to do, but they didn't come to the house of God that night. Pictures in the deer stand. God bless his heart. Called to preach. I don't know. Hear me today. What do we do? I said, let's have church. Where 2 or 3 are gathered. Oh my, did the Lord not move that night? The brother preached the message. Message in tongues and interpretation given. That young lady went to the altar and prayed through. It wasn't but 7 of us. But guess what? It seems strange to many people. But I felt in my spirit, let's be strange tonight. Everybody else would have called it off maybe. Let's just have a little prayer vigil here. No, no, no. Let's press through to a strange movement of God's Spirit. Let's have unstoppable faith. I feel like preaching here tonight. I hope you're listening. When this man came, when these men come to the door, they could not get to Jesus. They thought to themselves, we can't go this way. We're going to get in there somehow. They got up on the roof of that house. Some believe there were stairs on the house, but it may have been a ladder. We really don't know. But I don't know if you've carried anything up steps before, but if you're carrying a human being up steps, it can't be too easy. The room ain't always perfect. We were moving a bed yesterday. I said, boy, this is tough. If there was 4 of us, it wouldn't have happened probably at one time. But hear me today, these men, 4 men, they got that man up on the rooftop, either by stairs or by ladder. And we have to understand, when you study the rooftops of that time, they were laid with poles across the top and cut down reeds and bushes. And then they were covered with mud. And then they would bring in, they would find cowling. But they would do all this different layering there to make that roof secure, to make it waterproof. So when these men got to the roof of the house, I don't believe they just reached down and pulled up a little pine straw and jumped down in there. When you study the design of the house at that time, there was some work involved. Maybe they got to the rooftop and said, well, looking around, they probably thought to themselves, well, I think maybe he's over here. And maybe the other guy said, let's put our ear down here. They won't worry about getting their ear or their hair dirty. So this man needs a healing. I'm here to see it done. Maybe that man got over there, he put his ear to the floor, and maybe he finally said, I hear the Son of God. He's right underneath our feet. And all of a sudden, I see the men start stomping the ground. I see them start maybe trying to pull everything up they can. They were stomping and stomping and stomping. They were making a way. They could have said, man, this is too much work. Man, this isn't really worth it. Let's wait until tomorrow. But they looked over there at that wounded man, that man with that palsy, and they thought to themselves, I'm getting him to Jesus tonight. It doesn't matter what happens. And there they would stomp and beat. I don't know how long it took, but they put off layer by layer by layer, and they finally seen the Son of God. Hallelujah. Many times we come to church, there's a lot of layers keeping us from the Son of God. It could be pride. Yeah. Well, it's a thick layer. Yes, it is. And it's like concrete. Thank God the Word's like a hammer. You can knock it on down if you got to. It could be laziness. Oh my. Well, Lord, that's too much work. To see something strange like that, that would actually require, man, that would really just get me out of my schedule. Yes, it might. Ain't nothing better than when a good old move of the Holy Ghost changes us. Ain't nothing wrong with being scheduled. I love, thank God for a schedule. I've got a little, I like my coffee reading in the morning, but there's sometimes God wants Derek to fast without the coffee in the morning. Come on. And I have to get up and I go to that Keurig and I have to say, not today. That's my schedule. And look, that may not be much for you, but boy, it's been a few tough times. I was so tired. I said, man, I'd like to push that button and get a cup of coffee. But no, no, no. You have to get out of your schedule. There's times the Holy Ghost will shove you past all of those things. And he'll have to get you past pride, maybe laziness. Even jealousy's a slayer at times. This ain't a competition. It ain't who sings the most or sings the best. I've told young preachers before, if you're here in a competition, I'd rather leave. When I go to a camp meeting or you preach youth service with the young men, or go to where there's a day service and a night service and I'm a part of it, I like get with the other evangelists. Let's pray together. Let's talk to each other. What's on your heart, brother? What has God revealed to your heart? And let's talk about what God revealed to my heart. Let's get unified about this meeting and let's see something strange happen. This ain't about me out preaching you, and this ain't about you out preaching me. Let's see a move of God. None of that should be in the church. None of that should be. There's many different layers. These men had to get layer after layer and deliver today because many people would have labeled these men crazy and too loud. Maybe somebody was down there in that place, was looking up and saying, what are they doing up there? I am in my meditation moment and they are up there doing this and they're making all that racket. What are they doing? They're getting to Jesus. Hear me today, friend. No doubt they were up there making a ruckus. They were up there making a fuss, maybe. Maybe they seen the dust falling down. Maybe they were sitting there and seeing the towel begin to fall. But these men had unstoppable faith, and that is strange. The next thing that was strange here, hear me today, is there was somebody that was born again, and that's mighty strange. You say, no, it's not. Well, I haven't seen a multitude. I see people get born again occasionally. But I ain't talking about coming to, you know, come to the altar and pray. That doesn't mean you get born again. I've said that before. It's easy to get them to pray. It's hard to get them to stay. Amen. It's one thing to get them to come to the altar. It's another thing to get them to come back to church. There's something about it. These men here, when they let this man down in front of Jesus, and it says when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. These men seen somebody born again. No doubt when this man was lowered down into the presence of a holy Christ, I believe he felt his sinfulness, and Jesus looked at him and said, thy sins are forgiven thee. Maybe everybody looked and seen that bed lowering down and landed right at Jesus. His feet, and this man was born again. The normal thing would have been this. He would have left the same spiritual condition that he came. That would have been normal. They did all their work and got that man down in front of Jesus. The normality of today would have been he left, we got him a cheeseburger, so went home and watched the movie, never felt conviction for sin one time. That seems normal. But let us see a strange move of God. That when somebody comes to those doors and they're a sinner not born again and doing things they know they shouldn't do, they feel in themselves, I need to get saved. I need to quit doing this. We need to quit committing that sin. I know that it's wrong. That would seem strange to some people. It is not strange to see somebody come and pray all the way, but it is strange to see them get born again. It is strange to see them become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hear me today, friend, because we need to see true born again experiences happen. These young people need to see it, and the adults still need to see it. A few years ago, my little sister invited a girl to our old home church. Her name was Ashley, and someone met her at youth camp. Pretty young lady. Ashley was on the cheerleading squad. Had a lot going for her in that. She's athletic, I guess, and flexible. I don't know. I know I couldn't be a cheerleader, amen. But understand, I'm not flexible at all. But understand, whatever it was, she came to church. My little sister invited her. Brother Israel Choa was preaching. And my Lord, did Holy Ghost conviction fall? I've never seen somebody under that. Until this day, I've seen a few get saved now. I've seen a few get under conviction. She was under so much conviction in that service, she couldn't even walk to the altar. She stumbled down on her knees twice trying to get there. She was weeping. She was bawling. She was shaking. She was so just disturbed in her spirit. She came to the altar. Did she get born again? She came back the next week. She came back the next week. She changed the way she dressed. She quit the cheerleading squad. She changed a lot of things. She came back to church. She got born again. She got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I was there when she gave her first message in tongues. And somebody interpreted, all because somebody got born again. It's strange. Wouldn't it be amazing just to, you know, you hear, I've heard of meetings before, 20 got born again. Wouldn't that be amazing here? And then those 20 come back next Sunday and say, look, it's been kind of rough this week, but look, God showed me a lot of things. And I'm going to still come to church. I appreciate you preaching. You see him in the altar again. That is what being born again is. But here today, it's become a strange thing. And here we often say a person has an issue with dope or alcohol, and we try to label their sins. But Jesus looked here. He didn't look at this man and say, you need to try to do better. He just looked at him and says, your sins are forgiven. And this man was born again. Another strange thing that happened was this. They saw a miracle. Amen? Is that normal today? No, it's not. It's strange. When this man was lowered down, not only was his sin forgiven, but then he said this, "I said, a man hath power upon earth to forgive sins." He said unto the sick of palsy, "I say unto thee, arise, take up that couch and go into thine house." The normal thing would have happened. The sick would have came. He would have left sick. But the strange thing happened. That man left forgiven, born again, and healed, all in the same service. That would be strange to us. This man had palsy, something like being paralyzed. Has anybody here ever seen a paralyzed man healed? I haven't. I haven't. Would I like to? Yes. That would be strange. I would have to say that's out of the normal. I've never seen that before. Wouldn't it be amazing to have a strange revival? Would say miracles would happen? And we'd have to look at it and say, Brother Ned, we'd leave here and say, I've never experienced that before. God's been so good to us, but the presence of the Lord was there to heal, and God did it. You say, well, Brother Ned, I've looked on TBN and they healed people there. You know how easy it is for me to stand up here and say, somebody's out here got a pain in your back. You got a pain in your back. You're here. Some of you had a relative died in the last 10 years, and you know you're here. That it takes no power at all. It takes no anointing at all. It's easy to sit there. Look, I know God can use me to say that. I believe I would allow myself to. And God can heal. I'm not diminishing that one bit. But if you'll notice that a lot of the TBN mentality, they always name things you can't see. They always name things that are not evident. And the people over there in the wheelchairs are sitting in the corners and in the shadows. And you never see them get prayed for. But men of old, you read about Smith Wigglesworth and those men. I've watched as they, A.A. Allen, back when he was actually, many different opinions of that. But you know, back when A.A. Allen at one point, when he really did have that fast, and Oral Roberts, when he fasted 40 days at one time. I got married in the church's first pastor. The stories are true. He went down to that basement and fasted 40 days. I was those men. I've seen A.A. Allen one time on one of those videos. That man came right up there. He had such a bad cancer. I mean, he looked like he almost looked like in the Holocaust picture. He was so skinny. He was skin and bones. A.A. Allen told that man, he said, you came for hours to be healed. This was years ago. A.A. Allen took his time. He preached a text about Jesus come to set the captive free and all of that, heal all infirmities. And all of a sudden, A.A. Allen looks at that man. He says, stand up. Stand up right now. Man hadn't stood in months. He stood up. A.A. Allen started grabbing his legs. Started pulling his legs. Started stretching his arms. And then that man had not eaten in weeks. He was just a mirror image of a human there. And he told the man there, he said, go get him a ham salad sandwich and some milk. That man sat there and took a bite of it, drank some of the milk, took a bite of it, drank some of the milk. And look, you say, I don't know about A.A. Allen in his prime. I knew men that prayed beside him. I mean, Brother Keith Powers' great-grandfather cast out demons with the man. At one point, he did have the power. And yes, there were some discrepancies later on. But men like Smith Wigglesworth, he's seen miracles. Men like Jack Coe would go empty out hospitals. He wasn't theological. He never went to a Bible college. One day, Jack Coe's mother started shouting in the grocery store. He said, Mama, why are you shouting? She said, I seen a can of tomato sauce and thought about the blood of Jesus. And I felt the Holy Ghost and I couldn't help but give a holler. That would be strange to us. But they've seen revival. God help us return to childlike faith. To where simply looking across the room and seeing a can of tomato sauce would stir up enough faith in our heart that we would say, thank you, Jesus. It doesn't always take a theological message to stir up your faith. You ought to be stirred by the first hymnal. You ought to be stirred by the first course. You ought to have a hand up before the service is even had. It takes us 30 minutes to figure out we're in church sometimes. By the time the preacher gets his Bible open, we'll say, oh, it's time to preach. Prepare that heart. Cultivate that heart. That music here. The choir's not just for a display section. They're not up here to sing because you can sit there and watch. They get up there to help edify you. You sing, we sing, I sing. We worship God. It may not always be your best purpose to worship Him anyhow. Prepare your heart for the Word. See a move of God. Let's see strange things happen in Abundant Life Tabernacle.
Amen, amen.
Strange revival. I want to see out of the ordinary. We look at this family, we must understand. There were many strange things that happened there. There were people there that loved their neighbor more than themselves. There were people there that had unstoppable faith. There were people, there was somebody there that got born again. They seen a miracle, but they also seen some normal things too. First normal thing they saw was people sitting by. Bible tells us this, and it came to pass on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, there was Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. I mean, that's normal. I see that every service. I'm not saying you got to get up and... But there's one thing is sitting under Christ and sitting by Him. You're sitting under Christ, you're going to sit underneath His authority, you're going to move with His Spirit when His Spirit says move. When you're sitting by Him, you're just kind of watching. These men were sitting by. The difference here, understand, not only were they just sitting by, which is very normal, they were there watching, they were there just spectating, but they came from all over just to watch. It says here, it says, which they would come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. They came spectating. Some just comes from the fellowship. There's a woman one time that went to the doctor's office. And she sat there. An hour later, she was still sitting there. An hour later, she was still sitting there. The last patient was called and they were about to close. And the nurse came out and said, "What you doing?" She said, "I'm just here for the fellowship." We don't come to the house of God just to fellowship. Thank God for it. I enjoy talking to all of us. I enjoy eating with you. I enjoy all that we do together. But we do not just come here to sit by and fellowship. Hear me, dear. We come here not only to fellowship, but we come here not just to sit by, but we come to participate. Hear me today. You come to participate. Your participation is required in high school when you went to gym class. If you didn't participate, you got a big zero. What's going to happen to believers that never participate in the things of God? If a high school teacher could write a zero on your report card, you find somebody that's just in survival mode, just sits by and just comes to spectate and just comes to fellowship, you might end up with a zero on yours. I'm trying to get us to understand here today, we need to participate. It was normal to have bystanders. Understand this, these law, these doctors, these Pharisees, these men, that's why these men couldn't even get through the door. He had so many there to watch. If somebody come through those doors and sat in these pews, could they get through to Jesus without being hindered? Think about that. Could they get to this altar and pray through, and the liberty of the Holy Ghost be here, and the saints of God worshiping without them being hindered, without them thinking that somebody's going to judge them? Hear me today. That's why Jesus says this, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither you suffer them, or do suffer them others to go in."
Right.
The Pharisees would sit right beside Jesus, and Jesus is the door. They'd prop right up on them and wouldn't even go through. Do you go through the door? Every service, hear me today, friend. I'm just trying, talking to you from my heart. Do you go through the door? Do you make the opportunity when there's other people that are sitting beside us that need to get through the door as well?
Right.
There's even been some like Judas that'll walk up and kiss the door but never go through it. Jesus says, "I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." Hear me this. Not only did they come, this was normal. Not only did they have bystanders, but these men also came to find fault and to criticize, and that's normal too. We read here, and the scribes and the Pharisees begin to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" That was normal. I want you to notice this. When the people were sitting there in that room, what made them say, "We have seen strange things"? They weren't saying that about the Pharisees standing by. They weren't saying that about those that were just sitting there. They weren't saying about those that were criticizing. When they say we have seen strange things today, they were talking about men that loved their neighbor more than themselves. They were talking about unstoppable faith. They were talking about that being born again. They were talking about a miracle. That was strange. Let's have a strange revival as my wife comes to the piano. Let's have a strange revival. Now we look at the story, friends, and these men left and they said, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Look, I know there's times for edification. And I believe in teaching and preaching. I'm all for that. I believe that we're not only looking for converts, we're looking to disciple converts. I know that. And there is times we're going to have completely normal times of teaching and preaching. But I am not one preacher that's going to sit here and say, I don't want to experience strange things. In my ministry, I've prayed from the day I was called to preach. God, I want to see supernatural things happen. Not nothing to do with Derek Jones, but all to do with His grace and mercy. Strange things. If you would stand to your feet. Peter says this in 1 Peter 2 and 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Strange. He's saying you're going to be different. You're not going to be like the church up the road if you're going to be Pentecostal. I'm a Pentecostal preacher through and through. I'm not looking to try to be like a church up the road or anything. I'm not throwing stones anywhere. I'm not trying to be a preacher that don't believe in the continuation. I believe in it. I want to see and experience strange things. The Bible is full of strange things. It really is. You had a man by the name of Joshua. When everybody's going to idolatry, he looks at them and says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Then people at that time, they probably thought, that's a strange guy. You had Elijah. You had Jacob. I mean, you had Joseph. He was strange. The only one out of all of his brothers is coming back and said, I had a dream. Strange. You read throughout the Bible, the spies that went into Canaan. I've got more preaching than you've got time, I promise. This Bible is full of people that were out of the ordinary. And Jesus Himself, what it can be considered strange to a lot of people today. Because He loved the things of God that much. And I'll just close it here. But I want you to, when we come to the altars tonight, I really want the Holy Ghost to put this in our hearts. I want somebody here, I want us to understand we got to love our neighbor more than we love ourselves. More than we love anything in our life, you got to love your neighbor. Not only do you have to do that, but you've got to have unstoppable faith. You say, somebody's going to talk about me, let them talk. You're not here for the opinion of man. You're here for the things of God. What does God think about you? What does Jesus think about us? An Abundant Life Tabernacle, let them call us strange. But let's experience a strange revival in this church. If you would, come find a place to pray tonight. Empty them pews. If you're not saved here today, I'd love to see you get born again. I'd love to see that happen in these altars. If you're discouraged today, if you need to be filled, whatever it is, let's have a strange altar service. Let the Holy Ghost have His way in your life. Hallelujah. The presence has been here during the preaching the whole time. And the Holy Ghost is wanting to help us in these altars. Let's have a strange altar call today. Let's have it out of the normal, out of the ordinary, something we hadn't seen in a long time. Let's see a move of God's Spirit in our church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I'm sick of the normal.